And then after you have taken, we're going to take this family style, so you come as a family. And multiple families are available around these two tables here, so you don't have to wait for a family to leave before you can come. So, but once you are completed with the communion service, go back to your seats, and then when we're all done, we will pray together, and then we'll go out. And if you would, just leave quietly tonight, again, as kind of has been our custom in the past. So this is the night in which Jesus and his disciples gathered to have a Last Supper together. It was a time when Jesus had told them, go and prepare a place, get the meal ready. And he, at that time, as we remember, went and washed the feet of the disciples at that point. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, what that means, really what the essence of it is. But this is what he says in Luke 22, which is a different place in the scriptures where it's talked about. But he says to his disciples, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Now, you can answer that question in your mind. Who's the one who's more important, the one who sits at the table and is served by the waiter or the waiter who is serving the one who's at the table? Well, Jesus answers it for his disciples. He says, the one who sits at the table who serves, the one who is sitting at the table, of course, is more important. And so as he states that, then he follows that statement with this statement, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. In Mark 10, verse 45, he says it in a different way. He says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' point is that we are here to serve one another. The Apostle John gave a lot of details to this particular passage of Scripture. And without reading it, I just want to kind of review with you from your memory what was going on. They came to the table, and as they sat down at the table, it was not a table that we are used to sitting at. It was a low table, probably no more than a foot off the floor. And so they reclined at this table with their feet away from the table and their head at the table and kind of at an angle, probably a 45-degree angle. And so they reclined around this table. And as they were sitting there, Jesus knows everything that's going to happen. He is aware. He's aware that Judas will betray him. He is aware that Peter will deny him. He understands that all of the disciples, except John, are going to run away and not be seen of that day. And so he stands up and he takes off his outer cloak and he takes a towel and he girds his waist, he puts it around his waist, and then he takes a bowl of water and he goes to the feet of each man who is lying down in front of him, and at their feet he starts to wash their feet. Now, for most of us, we have no clue what this is all about, but in the culture of the day, this was the job of the slave of the house. This was a slave's job, and it was a customary tradition of etiquette. They were intended to wash your feet because the feet were close enough to the table that the stench and the smell could have been present. And so you wash the feet for the comfort of the people who are your guests. So it's the role of a slave that Jesus took here. And as he's doing this, Peter objects. Now, we have record that Peter objected. I am sure that it is very uncomfortable for every one of those disciples to have their teacher taking the role of a slave and washing their feet. And if Peter said it, you know they were all thinking it. Peter just said it. They should have made accommodations. They set the meal up. They got everything prepared. They should have made accommodations to have the feet washed by someone other than Jesus, and they knew it. And then Jesus teaches them, and this is what he says to them. Do you understand what I am doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I am the Lord and the teacher, and I have washed your feet, you ought also to wash each other's feet. And I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. A slave is not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now, the things that you have seen, God will bless you for doing them. Is Jesus saying we should wash each other's feet? No, he's saying that we should serve one another. We should look for the needs that are around us and meet those needs. You see, it's not about the foot, and it's not about washing the feet, because that's not part of our culture. But it is a part of our culture to see a need and to meet the need that is around. He is saying to us, serve each other. Serve the people around you. See a need, meet a need. See a problem, solve the problem. Pray for an opportunity and act on the opportunity. Use your car to help somebody. Visit someone who's sick. Grieve with someone who's grieving. Clean the house for somebody else. Clean a toilet for somebody else. Cook for someone. Mentor a young person. Be a friend to someone who has no friends. Pray for opportunities to show compassion in relationship so that you may have the opportunity to influence another life. You see, this is what Jesus did. You see, we come to this table tonight because this is the place where Jesus says, this is my body. This is what I give for you. This is my blood. This is what I have offered for you. And that's what he says in Luke, the 22nd chapter. He says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. This is an evening of sacrifice. It's the point of teaching about serving, about loving one another, about caring for each other. Sometimes we do a good job of that, and sometimes we don't. And it's always a reminder that we are to serve those that are around us. See a need, meet a need. See a problem, solve a problem. Don't ask somebody else to do it. Do it yourself. Because if we all start to meet the needs that we see and we start to solve the problems that we see, then we will solve the majority of the problems without going beyond our own selves. We can do it because Jesus has asked us to do that. So tonight we are going to take the supper. I'm going to pray for it. And then as you come, you may pray quietly to yourself at the table, or however you want to take the supper, you take it in that manner. And then we will, when it's concluded, we will pray together. So would you pray with me? Lord God, I pray that we would not get caught up in the details of the story, but that we would meet the needs that we see. That we would solve the problems that are apparent to us. That we would pray for opportunities to serve one another. And Lord, when we see them, by the power of your Spirit, would you enable us to have courage to meet them. May we do what you have done and serve one another. And Lord, we thank you for serving us. Thank you for your body that was given as a sacrifice for us. Thank you for your blood that was offered to forgive our sin. A perfect sacrifice by a perfect man who is God himself, placing himself between us and a just God and saying, I will pay the price for their sin. Lord God, as we come to this table tonight, would you just meet us here? May your presence fill this place, and may you receive our worship tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.